Yentas presents The Woman on the Cliff by Janice Frost, performed by Kathleen McCarran. Dedication to my husband and sons. Chapter 1. Suddenly the car is all packed. At the last minute, Izzy runs back into the house to grab Sebastian, her favourite teddy bear. I'm pleased she's decided to bring him after all. He's a cheerful, traditional sort of bear, with a red bow tie and blue and white striped dungarees. My mother gave him to Izzy on the day she was born. When she brought him to the hospital, he was plush, new as Izzy, his fur still soft and silky. Now he's battered by years of love and misuse. I wait in the car. I'm in no hurry to leave, even though we have a long journey ahead of us. The next 4 years will be full of moments like this. Partings. Of course, there will be happy reunions too. Visits to St. Andrews for me, visits home for Izzy. Long holidays and the odd long weekend. It will be different, that's all. I've told myself this over and over in the past few weeks, but I still have a lump in my throat every time I think of Izzy embarking on this new phase of her life without me. Not least because of Moira. Izzy appears at the front door, tucking Sebastian under her arm as she locks up. I catch the old bear's eye. He seems to mock, "I'm going with her and you're not." I don't resent him for it. He's known Izzy as long as I have. "Just make sure you look after her," I mouth back.
"Got him,"
Izzy says, tossing Sebastian carelessly onto the back seat. It seems no time at all since she spent ages carefully securing Sebastian in his own little car seat before we could set off on the shortest of journeys. I've been thinking a lot about my own student days since my daughter was accepted to study at my old alma mater. I suppose it's not so surprising that she puts St. Andrews at the top of her list, given that she's grown up hearing stories about my time there. Not just from me, but from Elspeth and even Shona on her occasional visits. There is one story about those days that Izzy hasn't heard. Not because it's a secret, exactly. But stories need endings, and Moira's never had one. I start the engine. Izzy falls silent. I sneak a look at her and see that she's gazing in the side view mirror at our house as it disappears into the distance. This is it, I think, with a stab of poignancy. One of those moments that you hold in your heart forever. An end and a beginning. For both of us. Chapter 2. No one realised that Moira was missing. Lucy claimed she was the first to notice, but only because she was looking to borrow Moira's hairdryer. She'd been calling up to Moira's room. When no one answered, she'd gone in, and finding no one there, helped herself. Moira wouldn't have minded. She'd have been pleased to know that she'd done one last favour for her friend. Of all of us, Shona might have been the one to wonder where Moira was hiding herself away. But Shona was on a geography field trip that weekend, somewhere in the Outer Hebrides. So it was me who saw the police car draw up outside our house on North Street. It was Sunday, tea time. I was in the kitchen, scraping days-old gunk off the bottom of a pan that Lucy had abandoned on the worktop. I'd just popped a tape into my cassette player and was singing along to Bruce Springsteen when I heard the engine. I looked out of the window just as two men emerged from the car. One was in uniform, the other was dressed in a grey suit under an open raincoat, which also looked grey in the fading light of the early evening. I'd like to say that I had an intuition that they had come about Moira, but I didn't. On catching the flash of the vehicle's...